Security theater can be more terrifying than actual terrorists. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. By now, you've probably heard about the weekend's big story. John and Martha King have been flying a 2009 Skyhawk leased from Cessna, which they're using to produce a new IFR instruction course. Saturday, they found themselves facing four carloads of armed police at Santa Barbara Airport because a federal agency charged with protecting us from terrorists has a database that's years out of date and flagged the N number in the IFR flight plan as belonging to a 1968 Cessna 150 that was stolen 8 years ago and deregistered 5 years ago. ANN CEO and editor-in-chief Jim Campbell got the whole story from John King. We'll hear it in two parts today and tomorrow.
When you hang around the Arrow News offices, say in off time, you never know what's coming in by email, but one of the most interesting email messages I've received in quite some time came through courtesy of John King late Sunday afternoon, telling a story that, frankly, seemed too bizarre to be true, but the problem is, in this day and age, what is too bizarre to be true usually is. John King is with us today, and John, I understand you had a bit of an adventure on Saturday.
Well, Jim, yes, it was an interesting email for Martha and me too, because as we landed at Santa Barbara Airport, the police intercepted us, had us come out of the airplane, walk with our hands in the air backwards, and handcuffed us behind our backs and put us in squad cars. And we had no idea, two separate squad cars, we had no idea why they did it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's got to be one of those pit of the stomach feelings that you really don't want.
It's a feeling that if you make, and there were a number of police pointing guns at us and keeping them trained on us while they're behind their doors. They're taking this very seriously. And you have the feeling if you do anything wrong, you could get perforated. For instance, let's assume your cell phone's in your pocket and it rings and you reflexively reach for it, you'd be dead.
Does not sound like a good time to me.
No, it was not a good time. I had a bad headache afterwards, I tell you that. And it was one of those deals. It was like the movies. Pilot, open your door very, very slowly. Pilot, stick your hands out. Keep your hands in our sight. Pilot, come out of the aircraft and turn away from the speaker. Pilot, keep your hands in the air and walk backwards towards the sound of the speaker. Stop. Then they come and they grab your hands and they want to handcuff behind your back. And I said, look, I got to tell you, I have a lot of problems with my shoulders and I really have to go to the bathroom. Well, of course, that did not slow them down one iota. And then they walk me back and they had me identify everything that was in my pockets, and they took those items out and patted me down completely. And then they walked me back to the police car and put me in the police car. And then they went through the same thing with Martha. Passenger, open your door very, very slowly. Passenger, hold your hands in the air. Keep them in the air so we can see them as you come out of the airplane. And they did exactly the same thing for her. Handcuffed her and put her in the back of the squad car. And my feeling was, what have I done to get Martha in this situation? She doesn't deserve this.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just got to be one of those things that your mind just has to be absolutely just running at high speed, trying to figure out what's going on from one second to the next and where it's all going to end.
Well, one of these things, there was one point where we have talked about this before. If you get stopped by the cops, there's no time to argue with anybody. That's what courts are for. You don't argue with the cops. But one time, as I'm walking backwards, this cop hollered at me, "Do you understand me?" And I said, "I do not understand one thing about this." And I could have gotten tased for that kind of a defiant comment. I did not. But I really shouldn't have done that. But I certainly did not have a clue what was going on.
Well, it's a natural reaction. You're an innocent person caught in the crosshairs, literally, in this particular case, of a situation that you don't understand. You want to cooperate. And yet, with the amount of information that's got to be coming in at a breathtaking rate with a tremendous amount of confusion, just about every move that you might make or think of making just doesn't make any sense at all.
No, and of course, at this moment, you're really, you like to think you're a real cool customer, but you got your adrenaline going. Because, you know, you recognize this, that could truly be a lethal situation. You're very much at risk.
Oh, I'm sorry, if anybody's pointing a gun at you, that's a lethal situation.
It is, and you're very much at risk. So after I'm in the car for a while, and Martha's in the car with her hands behind her back, in a separate car, of course, the policeman comes to me, and he says, we need to find the VIN number for your airplane. And they're going all around the airplane. And I said, well, airplanes don't have a VIN number. And he says, oh, yes, they do. And I said, well, we can make a few phone calls and figure this thing out. But then he goes back to the airplane, and he comes back later with a piece of paper in his hand, and I realize it's the registration certificate for our airplane. He says, we're looking for this number on the airplane. Ah, you want to know the serial number of the aircraft? Well, it's on the tail underneath the horizontal stabilizer and the left side on the fuselage down low. They found it. Then they start making phone calls. And after some period of time, they come back and take us out of the car, remove our handcuffs, and said, you're free to go now, or the equivalent of, have a nice day. And then I start asking some questions. Well, what's going on? How did this come about? And they told us that this private company, that they referred to it as a private company, called the El Paso Information or Intelligence Center, short, it's called EPIC, called them and told them to look for this airplane and to detain this airplane that had been stolen. Well, as it works out, the EPIC is an amalgamation of different governmental agencies. I think most are related to Homeland Security. And they routinely track IFR flight plans, match them up against the reportedly stolen aircraft, and notify the cops on the other end.
If you still harbor the misconception that common sense has any part in Homeland Security, we'll fix that in just a moment. More coming up with Jim Campbell and John King. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with John King of King Schools about his weekend encounter with the Santa Barbara PD, which was triggered by a tip from a federal agency using a database at least 5 years out of date. Apparently, it doesn't occur to the folks at EPIC that someone who fills out a flight plan probably isn't running from the law.
You were going from, I assume, San Diego to Santa Barbara. You were on an IFR flight plan. You weren't trying to hide anything.
Well, no, if you're on an IFR flight plan, you've given your name, address, phone number, what your route is, what time you're going to get there, the destination you're going to land at, and you're telling it to all the world who can get on FlightAware and see this. So you're not keeping any secrets doing that.
No. Now, as I understand it, post-landing, was the first inkling that you had that something was a little bit off, but not by a whole lot. What happened as you landed at Santa Barbara?
As we were landing, I made a landing such that I was able to turn off and before I crossed the crossing runways and go south directly on the taxiway to Atlantic Aviation, which was what our destination was. And we started to make that turn, and the tower says, no, we need you to continue on the runway, go past both intersecting runways, continue down till you get to taxiway Charlie. And we look on our chart and go, Charlie? That's completely on the other end of the airport, and we pass two or three taxiways on the way. So we comply, we go down to Charlie, and actually I have to put the power in and keep on taxiing to get there. We pull off on Charlie, and the controller says, and I say, we're Cessna 5045 off 25 on Charlie, taxi to Atlantic. aviation, and the controller says, turn left and park next to that Cherokee. And I said, I'm sorry. This is Cessna 50545. We're the ones just off of 25 on Charlie. We're going to Atlantic. And he says, turn left and taxi next to that Cherokee and park there. And I said, but we got people waiting for us at Atlantic. He says, turn left and taxi next to that hangar, Hangar 1. And I said, I don't know where Hangar 1 is. We're going to Atlantic. And finally he understands, unless I get more information, I'm not gonna go park over there. And he says, the city wants you to park over there. And I said, the city? And Martha says, look at that. And we see in front of us our four police cars all in parallel aimed at that parking spot. So we go, oh boy, this is not good. So we go and park in that parking spot, shut down the airplane, and that's when the loudspeaker says, pilot, open your door very, very slowly. So we got some clue. You know, I thought it was traffic right up until the point where the guy says, oh, turn left and park next to that Cherokee. And we go, well, we don't want to park next to that Cherokee. We want to go over to Atlantic. So it took a while back and forth with the controller before the controller finally, he didn't want to tell us why. But he had to tell us why before we'd be willing to do it.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you've got to be shaking your head big time about that.
Well, you know, the part that is wrong with it is this business of federal databases of people's names and aircraft numbers and so on, that you get on it wrongly and can't get off of it. I mean, this airplane was intercepted about a year and a half ago. Well, it should have gotten off that list, but nobody... for instance, the Wichita police aren't going to take it off the list. The Santa Barbara police aren't going to take it off the list. Nobody thinks it's their responsibility to do that. And the citizen doesn't really have a way of doing it. The list, by the way, is secret. It's composed of drug suspects, terrorist suspects, and stolen aircraft. And so they won't reveal that list, because they think if you know you're on the list, you wouldn't file IFR. So what they want to do is not tell you you're on that list, so you're unaware, and they catch you by surprise. But the problem is, because the list is secret, there's no way to get off the list. And there's no way to even know you're on the list. And, you know, if they made the list public, and you bought an airplane, you'd check it against that list to make sure that you're not reported as a stolen airplane. But you can't do that because they're keeping the list secret.
In tomorrow's conclusion of this conversation, mistakes can happen, but this same thing happened to another pilot flying the very same aircraft in the past. Why haven't the feds fixed this a year and a half later? If you want to hear it now, we've posted part two early. John King is co-founder and co-chairman of King Schools. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.